Welcome to the Encounter Jesus podcast.
Well, when Tim asked me to speak today, seems like it was probably 6 months ago. As good of a planner as Tim is, he's always planning in advance. I really felt like the Lord said to speak to you about the authority of Jesus and the power of Jesus. And I felt that word very strongly, and we all know what happens when we don't listen to the Lord, so I'm going to listen to the Lord and speak about power and authority of Jesus. I just want to start off with a couple of quick phrases. We are required to walk in the authority and power of Jesus. Authority and power are essential to live and demonstrate the gospel. I'm going to say that again. Authority and power are essential to live and demonstrate the gospel. And this is what qualifies us to influence the nations, the power and the authority of Jesus. So, while I was listening to the Lord as to what to speak about and what to talk about today, he really highlighted to me a testimony that happened a few years ago, and so I'm going to go through that first, and in the verses that the Lord highlighted to me through those. When Amanda and Ella and Gavin were at Ashland Christian several years ago, Ella had a classmate whose mother had cancer. And I don't remember the exact specifics and why we were all there. I think I may have been cleaning up after an event at Ashland Christian. And I don't even remember, Ella, if you were still there at the time. But everyone gathered around her to pray for her. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. You know, we love healing prayer. And at that time, I went through some trainings from Mahesh Shavda and, you know, Chris Gore and, you know, we were in the flow of Bethel Reading and Bethel Cleveland and doing treasure hunts and out praying for people and declaring healing over people. So I was all pumped up and ready. And people started praying. And all I heard was, if it's your will, God, if it's your will. And I was about ready to, pardon my French, vomit. I was getting so angry. I'm like, what do you mean if it's his will? Why are we asking the Lord if it's his will? And they just continued to be a lot of passive prayers, and there was no authority. And I typed in here, blah, blah, blah. But that's basically all I heard was blah, blah, blah. And it was repeated over and over again. And then there was a pause. And I took my opportunity and I took my chance. I didn't want to be politically or religiously correct, and I just released the blood of Jesus on her and the healing power and the healing authority of Jesus. And it was probably one of the first times that I really, like, just boldly and confidently released it in front of a bunch of strangers and people that, you know, I didn't even really know that well. And so I just sent the disease and sickness to the foot of the cross. And I felt like she was covered. I felt like, you know, the prayer that was released was a healing prayer. And I'm not picking on or belittling anybody else that was there. I just felt like that was what needed to be done. And I did what the Lord asked me to do. And shortly after that, I was teaching children's one day. And this verse, and this is just for you to put in a little nugget you can put in your back pocket. But anytime anyone talks about the will of God, or they say that if it's your will, Lord, you can always point them to Matthew 8:2-3. So Matthew 8:2, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of leprosy. So that's your little nugget to take with you if anyone ever asks or questions whether or not it is God's will or Jesus' will to heal. So throughout this experience, I wanted to be armed with something more. I wanted to have, you know, a little bit more background or, you know, things that I could say or respond with. that I knew that was true in the Bible and in the Word about the authority and the power of Jesus. So at the time, I was reading in the book of John. And I found this first verse when I was reading, I was like, man, that is something that I could use, that I could apply and, you know, use when people question the authority of Jesus. So in John 20, 21 through 23, so John 20, 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you, right? That's pretty easy. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you, he said to the disciples. So I immediately thought about the authority that Jesus gave the disciples and how this verse could be used to defend and to support the authority given to us. And then the interaction continues on in John 20, 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. So this is a very bold statement, right? The Father's sending the disciples to do his work. And I can't imagine how they felt at that time, right? So if the Lord said to you, I'm sending you out to do my work, like, wouldn't that be a little intimidating and just a little bit concerning, I guess, to take on the work of Jesus? So as I continued to read through John, I came across John 14, 12. And that also kind of stirred me a little bit to use as a verse that could help support the works and the authority of Jesus. So John 14, 12 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So I'm just going to repeat part of that. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Right? So he didn't say the disciples, right? He said, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. So it's Jesus' desire that his followers will do the works that he did. So again, I just put that verse in my mind and just remembered where it was at so I could to use that as a weapon against those who might question the authority of Jesus. And also, the reason greater things is included is because Jesus passed on the power of the authority, the power of the Holy Spirit to answer prayer in his name, right? So the reason the greater things is mentioned is because Jesus passed on the power of the Holy Spirit to answer prayer in his name. And this verse isn't up there, but this is one of my go-tos also, is John 14, 14. Whenever you're praying healing over somebody, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it, right? You can't get much clearer than that. So we can ask Jesus for anything in his name and he will do it. The greater works also includes greater numbers and greater scope of ministry for the disciples. So again, a quick summary. So John 20, 21, Jesus said he's sending his disciples as the Father sent him. Right? John 14, 12, whoever has faith in Jesus will do even greater things than he did. So wouldn't it be great if there was a Bible verse that says that we are all his disciples, right? That would stop all of those naysayers from saying that we are not disciples, so we can't do the works of the disciples. And lo and behold, John 8, 31 through 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? So if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So that's the Lord telling us, right? If we truly hold to his teaching, we are his disciples. We have that same authority. We have that same power that Jesus gave the disciples. So the footnote in my spirit Spirit-filled Bible for John 8, 31, 32 says, genuine disciples of Christ continue to obey the words of Christ. If we are disciples, then Jesus has breathed Holy Spirit into each one of us, just as he breathed into the disciples. All right? Genuine disciples of Christ continue to obey the words of Christ. So that's what he's imparting on us. That's what he's giving us, that we are truly his disciples, that he has released that authority and that power into us as he did the disciples. So therefore, the power and the authority given to Jesus was then given to the disciples and is given to each one of us. So those are the three verses that I just keep mulling over and thinking in my head whenever I hear anyone talk about the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, that I know that I am a disciple and that I have that same power and authority given to the original 12 disciples. So the Lord also, I felt like he wanted me to just review and just talk about a few stories in the Bible that demonstrates his power and authority. So the first one was very early, obviously in Jesus's ministry in John 2. And when Jesus was at a wedding with the disciples and Mary. So John 2:3 says, when the wine was gone, Jesus's mother said to him, they have no more wine. So Mary knew the power and the authority that Jesus had, right? So it goes on in verse 4 to say, woman, why do you, I have a hard time saying this. So Ethan, Alex, when your mom, you know, when you want her to listen, this is what you say. You say, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. I just think about like my kids saying that to Jen. Woman, why do you involve me? All right, let's get back on track here. So we all know how the story ends, right? The Lord, his first miracle, he turns water into wine, right? And just demonstrates that power and the authority that Mary knew that he had, that he released over that water and turned it into wine. And then Mary concludes by saying, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Another example in the scripture is Matthew 8, 23 to 27, when Jesus demonstrated his authority and power over the storm on Lake Galilee. So Matthew 8, 23. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So at that time, the disciples had not yet been given access to the power and the authority of Jesus. They were under his mantle, right? They were under his covering, but they were still learning by watching. The disciples were in training, I like to say. So the first example was very early in Jesus's ministry, right? The last example was, you know, at the height of his ministry. But now, the last example that we're going to discuss was when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And we all know, you know, with Easter being so recent, the story of Easter and the resurrection. But in Matthew 27:50, as Jesus hung on the cross, says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." So even in death, Jesus took authority over and split the temple in half, tearing the curtain of the temple open, which was a way into the presence of God for us. The Great Commission is also another perfect example of Jesus declaring his authority. In Matthew 28:18, when Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then finally in Acts, when Jesus appeared to the disciples in Acts 1:7-8, he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So when you hear people talk about Matthew 10:8, right? We're supposed to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. This was never supposed to end, right? Jesus released this, and he didn't want it to ever end, right? By imparting the power and the authority into the disciples and releasing that on us. So Jesus' life was designed for us to receive his power and authority. So when I was listening to a Bill Johnson sermon recently, he said this: "Most believers have greater faith in the return of Christ than they do in the power of the gospel. The concept behind this statement is the fact that we know Jesus is coming back, and when he does, he will fix everything, right? We'll just wait for him to come back and fix everything. Instead of believing the power of the gospel has been given to us, and that this is what fixes everything." I'm going to read that last part again. Jesus is coming back, and when he does, he will fix everything. Instead of believing the power of the gospel has been given to us, and that is what fixes everything. Amen, right? That's what's going to fix everything, is the power of the gospel. So I'm not going to stand up here and judge people and shame people and condemn people. I am just as guilty as anyone else can be of not using the power and the authority given to us. And I used to come home from work and say to Jen, "Well, this happened," and I would complain and say things, and what would she say? "Did you take authority over that?" Right? And I'd be like, "No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that." So now, before I come home and say something, I make sure that I release authority over my workplace. And when I walk through the halls, I pray authority, that the Lord's authority would be over our employees and our patients. And we pray healing and declare healing over them instead of kind of buying into that whining, moaning, complaining attitude and atmosphere. So I've had many times when I've not chosen to use the authority in me, but now, it's something that I try to do every day at work. And I encourage you to do that, whether it's at school for children or teachers or in your workplace, in your home, wherever you are, whatever domain that you have authority over, just receive that, accept that, and declare that over those around you. And, take that authority. That way, it takes the complaining out of it. Amen? All right. So let's go ahead and bow our heads, if you would, please. And we're just going to start by asking the Holy Spirit, what area in my life do I need to take authority over? So just go ahead and pause for a minute. It could be at work. It could be an addiction. It could be over fear. that we talked about this morning in prayer and through worship. It could be in healing. Maybe you need to declare authority over healing in your body. Could be over a relationship, could be over your mind. But just right now, just pause for a minute and ask the Holy Spirit, what area in your life do you need to take authority over? All right, so keep your eyes closed. Now what I want you to do is to picture whatever that situation is, whatever environment that you're in, whether it is work or home or relationship, what that would look like if you did declare authority, if you did declare the power and the authority of Jesus over that situation consistently. So just ask the Lord what that would look like. All right, so Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the generous gift that you have given each one of us. That as we walk out of here today, whether we are listening online, whether we are in person, whether we are speaking life and authority and power into somebody else, Lord, that we would receive this wonderful gift that you have given us. That we would always turn to you first, Lord, before turning to a spirit of fear, a spirit of worry or complaining. Lord, that we would use the authority, that same authority that was given to you, that was passed on to the disciples, and that was passed on to each one of us, Lord. We declare that, and we receive that. That victory is in our house today because of you, Jesus. So again, we receive the authority given to you, that we are your disciples. That you love us so much to give us this gift, to walk out of here today, to declare authority over our encounters, over our work, over our home, over every interaction. And we release that over the city of Ashland also, Lord. That nobody has ultimate authority but you, not the government, nobody, Lord, that we have the authority to release. And we declare that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check out our website at EncounterJesusChurch.com. Blessings.